Well, welcome to Leicester Fan TV. My name's Phil. It's Monday night. We want your views, we want your comments as ever. Today we are joined in a very special episode by Steve from the Redmen TV, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Liverpool fan zones that there are out there. Obviously, we are down to be playing Liverpool on Wednesday. Who knows if it will happen? Hopefully it will, but join us, get your views in, get your comments in for this Carabao Cup special.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. Are you ready for the show? Thanks to our sponsors, ADT Taxis, Everard's, Pucca Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Leicester Riders, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Peter's Pizzeria, Hope Against Cancer, and Newbie and Co-Estate Agents. We want your views, we want your comments, so join us live. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, indeed, a big week for Leicester City this week. Wherever you're watching, make sure you follow us at Leicester Fan TV. We want your views, we want your comments. Now, let's bring in Steve from the Redmen TV. Let's add him in. Steve, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you? Thanks for having me.
That's well. It's a pleasure to have you guys on again. It's lovely to chat to you guys. Obviously, we've recorded this earlier on in the day, so we don't know what Steve is going to go on in today's meeting. Between the managers are having a meeting, the captain's meant to be having a meeting, the Premier League are having a meeting. What's your take on everything that's going on?
Yeah, like I say, very uncertain. A lot of uncertainty about, isn't there? I think I'm right in saying that a lot of the meetings and stuff are going to be more along the lines of, not only is it the players who've got COVID or the possible spread of COVID, it's the guys who are left and the inability of teams to be able to rotate those guys out of, so they have to play four or five games in the space of a couple of days almost. I think that's part of the problem as well. It isn't just, I mean, obviously the spread of COVID and players getting COVID is one thing, but it's also anyone who's left. Like, for example, Chelsea, who played yesterday, had like 14 guys available maybe. So are they going to have to go again and again and again and again? Perhaps that, I think that's the worry as well. So, yeah, it's football isn't immune to any of anything that happens in this country, as we all know. And everyone's been affected by it. We've all had it, or know someone who's had it in recent weeks. I'm recently recovered from COVID myself, so no, it's like it's not going anywhere. So they either battle through it or they take time off. I understand it. The flip side is if you just pause it for now, it's when does it come back? I think the logical move might be to just again that I think the talk was the. Funny enough, the league game between Leicester and Liverpool that week of the 28th, maybe they're just going to try and rearrange those games, which gives every team like they can get through the next couple of days, get through the Boxing Day games, which I'm sure the Premier League are desperate to keep on, Boxing Day football, and then maybe have the break there. But there's not really any right answers, Phil, because for every answer you give, it causes five more problems. So I don't know what the answer is.
Indeed. I mean, we've got two opposite sides of the coin here. Leicester have just had the last two matches against Spurs and Everton cancelled, postponed, should I say, due to lack of players for Leicester in particular. Liverpool, and last week, Jurgen Klopp was saying he didn't feel like teams should be cancelling and things should be going. But I did watch his post-match video after the Spurs game, where he is definitely open to some sort of break. I mean, he's talking about Liverpool's fixtures on the 26th and 28th. He says he's almost saying that's the stupidity of a fixture list anyway, let alone a lack of players. What's your take on that?
Yeah, even if everyone was fit and there was no COVID issues in the league, he's always said this. He's a big fan of the winter football. I think sometimes he gets misconstrued what he's saying. Like, he's always complaining. I think what he says is basically to ask footballers to go on the 26th and the 28th. Player welfare, he complains about, like, you know, actually it's the fans who are losing out, because you're going to have to rest some of Liverpool, for example, we've got Mo Salah, one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world. It's almost impossible to say to him, play on the 26th and then play again on the 28th at a high level. So, like, either the Leeds game, people pay their money and can't watch Mo Salah, or 2 days later. I think that's his problem. And then the COVID issues have obviously just exacerbated that further, in the fact that, you know, as it stands, Liverpool have got 4 positive COVID cases, and then Jordan Henderson was sent home because he was showing symptoms, although he was negative on his test. So 4, perhaps 5, and again, the way it goes, more to come. So automatically, you can't, like, and a lot of those are midfielders, so you're asking the same lads to go again and again. And it's bad for them. It's bad for it's actually bad for all of us as fans, Phil, because we don't get to see our players at their best. I think we all understand rest and rotation, and that's got to happen. And obviously, we're playing in the League Cup this week, and again, that would be a game that Liverpool would tend to rest in anyway. But the quality of the product on offer diminishes with every single time you ask them to do it and do it and do it again. Like, I'm all for, I guess there's got to be midweek fixtures, and you can make a couple of changes, and we've all got big enough squads to be able to do that. It's when you're just flogging the players to death. I think it'd be the same for you guys. Like, you wouldn't want to turn up to King Power and Jamie Vardy's played on the 26th, so we can't play on the 28th. And it's like, well, it's far from ideal. So I think that's where the issues lie. And like I say, COVID's just made it 10 times worse.
I think for Leicester, nobody wants to get any of these COVID cases anywhere, whether you're a football player, a fan, whatever. But for Leicester, we've got three or four real key players out on long-term injuries who potentially, when we look to play the Spurs and Everton games that have been postponed in the new year, we should have a stronger squad just by that. So in a way, there is advantages gained by those matches being postponed. And I think this is what some of the managers, I know the Chelsea manager was sort of alluding to it as well, that when he's at bare bones, it's such a struggle for him. Obviously, let's assume the game is on Wednesday. Again, the other side of this debate is that even the government could step in at this stage because they're having meetings. So there's even a vague chance the game could be played behind closed doors or a limited crowd.
Yeah, who knows? Again, I don't want to go too much into this government, but I wouldn't trust anything to say I do. So yeah, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, it's who know? Yeah, like I say, who knows where we're at in terms of it. I've got a feeling again, and we're just preempting this. So apologies if it's wrong. My guess is they're going to try and play the League Cup games. They're going to try and play the Boxing Day games, and then they might enforce a little break in there. That just after just post Christmas, that week, just to try and calm everything down a little bit. It gives it obviously a more the boost of vaccination program. I think it gives it that a chance to come into effect. It maybe gets some players that a chance to get that, because I think some players aren't getting that because there's so many games that they can't afford to miss a session in case there's any ill after effects after and things like that. I've heard that muted as well. So there's tons and tons to think about. But as I say, presuming it does go ahead, I think Jürgen would have rotated this side anyway. I don't think he would have played a massively strong League Cup team, and I know Brendan Rodgers in the last round, it was when you beat Brighton on penalties, wasn't it? That was a very much a changed side as well.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to predict what you do, but we can't make that many changes anyway because the guys we would have brought in are already playing because the guys have got COVID. So it's a fine balance in that. But yeah, I think Jürgen's main priority will be the Leeds game on Boxing Day, and then this one he'll kind of work backwards from there to select his team.
I watched your match, obviously, Spurs v Liverpool yesterday. I don't know, Steve, if you're aware. I watched it in virtual reality. I watched it with a headset on Sky, pumping the games out. So I was effectively watching the game as I was sat in the stands, which was a great experience, I must admit. It was literally as close as being at the game as you could be. It wasn't like watching it on a 2D screen. You were actually in it, and it was a great experience. But even better than that, it was probably one of the best games this season, probably one of the best games for the last couple of seasons I've seen at all. What a game it was, but a lot of controversial decisions in it.
Yeah, not half. that's been the theme of the shows here today, for sure, earlier at Redmen TV. Yeah, Liverpool feel a bit hard done by, and I think we all do, rightly so. I think, you know, there's a stonewall penalty that Liverpool don't get. I actually think Andy Robertson's red card, I think he deserved to be sent off. I don't think it was a very clever challenge at all.
It was a great tackle. That was old school football.
Yeah, he just needs to kick the ball a little bit more than he might have got away with it.
Harry Kane was a very... I mean, Jürgen said afterwards, what's the point in VAR if they look at that and then don't give it? From a non-Liverpool or Spurs point of view, that should be a red card.
If that's not a sending off, Phil, then I don't know what is. And that's the way we're at with that at the moment. You know, the England captain gets away with one, the Scotland captain doesn't. There's a little bit of that in it as well. Liverpool do feel hard done by it. Listen, we weren't at our best, and I know we were depleted, but it's no excuse. Like, there was things that Liverpool did pretty poorly in that game. Things that we did well at times. We've got, you know, the two highest scorers in the league both play for us at the moment, which is a nice place to be. The midfield there was a couple, again, we were missing players, there were issues in there, and I think that's where the game ultimately got away from Liverpool a bit. But there's a sense of injustice there. Like, again, I don't think there's many complaints about Robertson being sent off, but you know, Harry Kane, that happened so early in the game. Like if Spurs are forced to play that much of the match with 10 men, I'm pretty certain Liverpool would have come out on top. So if you can go studs first into someone's shin who's jumping off the ground and that isn't deemed a red card, then I can't tell you the logic. I don't know what is.
I mean, it was a very entertaining game and it was great. I mean, Liverpool in particular, you've got such attacking prowess, which starts with, like you say, your fullbacks, Robertson, etc., coming forward. It's so dynamic and exciting and done at such pace, let alone Mo Salah up top. There did look like you had a few defensive mix-ups and a bit of frailty at the back, though. I know Alisson kept you in it quite a few times, but I think that's what made it exciting was at times Liverpool looked a bit shaky at the back.
Yeah, I actually don't think it was at the back. I think it was in midfield. Liverpool play a high line. That just is what it is. It helps us in so many ways. But one of the things of playing a high line is that you've got your midfield's got to press the ball and don't let you just get beaten by one long ball over the top. And it happened a couple of times. We were sloppy passing the ball. The first ball comes, I thought Trent Alexander-Arnold had a very good game, but the Tottenham goal comes from him playing a bit of a loose pass towards Naby Keita and it all fell apart there. So Liverpool, it's almost like, and we had this issue last year, it was weird in that when all our centre-backs were injured and it stopped us scoring goals as well because the build-up of play wasn't there. Liverpool's like a well-oiled machine that I think if you take a few parts out of it, it does sometimes fall to bits. That's one of the... It's all well and good when everyone's there, but you take a couple of things out and then you're asked like a young kid to play centre-midfield, young Tyler Morton, and if it doesn't quite go well, it doesn't look great. But yeah, like I say... Even the goalkeeper, I think Alisson's an amazing goalkeeper. Yeah. He made some world class saves yesterday, but ultimately the second goal's a shocker. Like he has a nightmare. And I know you guys have this with Kasper Schmeichel, another world class goalkeeper, where he can pull out amazing things and then he just throws one in and you can't believe it. And we've all got it, and that's what Alisson did for us yesterday. It was a strange one, but yeah. I think if you're comparing us to seasons gone by, we're better going forward. We're scoring goals for fun. It's absurd how many goals we score. But you're right, with that comes a little bit more risk and reward. And obviously, I think when you don't have Virgil van Dijk fit and available and Fabinho in front of him, who's two of the best players in their positions in the world, you could see that there was a way to get at us. I actually thought the back four as a whole played okay. But it, at times, it was like, we got too easy to counter-attack on, and that was the worry. And listen, Spurs could have been 3 or 4 nil up before
They missed some chances. Dele Alli, I think Son. There were some big chances in the whole game.
Kane has a header from 3 yards that you put your house on him scoring and he misses. Yeah, so there was a bit of that as well. So in the end, I actually said, all in, a draw was a fair result. I just think there's a lot... Well, I know there's a lot of Liverpool fans who are just... really complain about the referee VAR and double standards, perhaps.
I think we'd all get rid of VAR if we're given a vote on it. We'd all get rid of it. Steve, I mean, for a start, before Leicester fans shoot me down, I'm not trying to sell any Leicester players to you in this next question, but is there any Leicester players you've got half an eye on and you think they could come across to Liverpool in the future?
It's too late now because I think the ship's there, but I was always a huge Johnny Evans fan. When he was at West Brom, I was desperate for Liverpool. I thought Liverpool should have signed him then. And Leicester went and done that deal. And I think he's been proven to be a very good signing for you.
Great
guys.
Value at £3 million, yeah.
Yeah, I was always a big fan. Now, there was links to Harvey Barnes not so long ago.
There was,
I think he signed the contract since then, if I'm right in saying. So maybe that one's out the window, but I like him. There was a talk of James Maddison at one point as well, but I just don't think he would suit Liverpool.
No.
We don't really have a number 10. It's not something we would like, so... other than that, like I say, I was always a fan of the fullbacks as well. But I think again, you're not going to leave Leicester where you play every week to go and sit on Liverpool's bench. I don't think that was really realistic. So
I think that's part of it. Is it at the moment? Is that step? I'm going to again. Leicester fans will shoot me down because I'll say step up. But we have to accept Liverpool are fighting on all fronts, including the Champions League, which sort of brings me still on to the next question: you're obviously riding high in the Champions League. I think you've got big focus on that. Premier League, again, you're definitely in the battle for that title. The Carabao Cup, which we're playing you in, and then I know we're playing you in the league next week, but Carabao Cup, as a fan, as the team, how is it just not taken very seriously, if you're being honest?
The manager doesn't really take it too seriously. But as you say that, he puts half and half teams out, really. I think he hates the idea of the two-legged semi-final.
He has said that, hasn't he? He said, let's get rid of one of them. Even now, he's saying... fix your congestion. Let's scrap the two-legged semi-final.
I think I'd agree with him there. I don't see the point. I think if you just do one semi-final at a neutral venue, I think everyone would pretty much be happy with that. I don't understand why you play one leg, one leg, one leg, and all of a sudden it's two legs in the semi-finals. It goes against everything that's just happened. But yeah, Liverpool, the flip side is like, our squad's quite strong, so even when we make a few changes, it's usually on off and a decent side. Against Preston and Norwich in earlier rounds, though, he's introduced a lot of young players, so we have teenagers playing as well, as long as sides, what you'd call your reserve players, a couple of backups as well. So I think that's how he's always taken it. He's often done that, and he'll definitely do that on Wednesday. He's got no choice, really. You can't just keep asking these same guys to play and play and play. So we rested and rotated a little bit in the Champions League because we sold the group up so early. I think in Milan, we played pretty much Sadio Mane started and Mo Salah started. But other than that, really, I think it was a lot of changes were made to that team. Obviously, the goalkeeper started as well. But I think other than that, I think it might be a similar-ish team. Obviously, we've had a couple of injuries and COVID issues since then, which might change things. But if you're expecting to see Mo Salah and Sadio Mane and Diogo Jota, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think you're mistaken. He would have rested Andy Robertson anyway, but he's suspended, so he hasn't really got a choice. I think the goalkeeper will change. So, yeah, I don't think you'll see any of Liverpool's superstar players. It'll be the likes of Taki Minamino will start, I'm almost certain. We will have probably Joe Gomez, who's coming back from injury, I'm certain we'll start. Neco Williams at full-back, Shimakas at the other full-back. It'll be Kevin Keller in goal. So it'll be a much changed team compared to the one, again, if the game, whenever that game that's meant to be on the 28th goes ahead, the team that plays in that one will be completely different than the one we see on Wednesday.
Yeah, two very different games there. Mo Salah in great form. Like you say, probably won't play in the Carabao Cup game, but will play if we play you in the Premier League next week. I think he's equaling some of Jamie Vardy's records. I think it's 15 consecutive games he's been involved in a goal or assist. I think that's the stat. Is he still on for the 11 goals in 11 games or to score in 11 consecutive games?
No,
that's over now.
Yeah, he didn't score yesterday, so that and the 15 goal, that end of that 15 as well.
Yeah,
because of what happened at Spurs, he was unlucky. He nearly had one, but he never quite got it. But I mean, if you look at like the numbers that Mohamed Salah's putting up, it's absolutely frightening. Really, he's on course for like his best ever goal scoring season. And bear in mind, this is the guy who holds the Premier League record for most goals in a 38 game season. He got that 32 goals in his first season for us, which again is absurd, really, think of it. He's on course to beat that. He's already got more goals and assists than anyone could dream of, I think, as it stands in the Premier League. He's got 15 goals and 9 assists in the league. I mean, it's just outrageous. 24 combined goals and assists is mad. And then I think Vardy is on 9, isn't he? And Jota went to 10 with the goal against Spurs, so they're the top three at the moment. He's on another planet, Phil. Like, he's exceptional. He is. I think he's the best player in the world, and I'm a bit biased with that at the moment, but he's phenomenal. There's nothing he can't do. But like you say, I don't think we're going to see that in the Carabao Cup game, but I'm down the line in the league game.
Steve, where does he rank in your... You've obviously watched Liverpool for a good few years. Where does he rank among all the Liverpool players you've ever watched? Is he up right up there, or...?
Yeah. I think... He's probably maybe second behind Steven Gerrard in terms of the Premier League era, for sure. We had a debate on our channel the other day, actually, of all time, an all-time ranking, and he was certainly in the top five of that.
Yeah.
And you were talking names like Gerrard, Dalglish, Rush, Suarez, Salah. And the list goes on and on and on. Souness, and we had people of all different age ranges saying it. And yeah, he's in that mix because this is his fifth season now. It's not a small sample size where you've been doing this. And this is the best he's ever looked. He looks stronger. People don't often credit his physicality, but like, he's super strong. Like, he pushes defenders over. He does everything he needs to do. Scores bags full of goals as well. So he's phenomenal. And like I say, whether we see that in the midweek, maybe off the bench, because again, we may have him on the bench just in case he needs him for whatever. But yeah, he's an absolute superstar.
Brilliant, Steve. Just before I let you go, I'm going to give you the chance to have a score prediction, assuming the game goes ahead. Liverpool v Leicester in the Carabao Cup.
I think it'll be a draw and it'll go to penalties. I'll back us to win on pens. I think I'll go for that. I know you guys went to pens last time and got through against Brighton. I'll go the same result, maybe sort of Liverpool edging it.
I think Leicester fans would probably take a draw and get to penalties. Again, it depends what Leicester players are available. We may end up fielding quite a strong team just because of the lads who have had COVID already and therefore are available back, and those who are not available might mean our squad is one of our strongest teams playing. So we will have to see on that. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us. Before I let you go, can you tell all Leicester fans where they can follow you and Redmen TV?
Yeah, just, again, head over onto, if you go to Twitter, at the RedmenTV.com, everything we ever do gets posted out on there as well. We're on YouTube, we've got the RedmenTV.com, we've got our subscription service as well. But yeah, if you follow at the RedmenTV on Twitter, that's all you need to do, and everything gets posted on there from the social guys.
Brilliant. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for joining us. It's been great having you on, and let's fingers crossed it's a Leicester win, but we'll see. Two games in a week, that's always exciting.
Mm-hmm. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. I'll let Steve go. Thanks a lot for Steve joining us. That's been absolutely brilliant. Don't forget, follow us at Leicester Fan TV, wherever you're watching. Subject to the game going on, Reedy, Jake, the lads, they'll be at the match on Wednesday. Obviously, we'll be hopefully at the matches next week, all over the place. So do make sure you join us. Join the watch-alongs. Have some fun. Get your views in. Get your comments in. From me, Phil, Leicester Fan TV. If I don't see you before, but hopefully I will, have a Merry Christmas. But hopefully we'll see you on match day on Wednesday. Cheers.
Thanks for watching Leicester Fan TV. Thanks to our sponsors, ADT Taxis, Everards, Pucka Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Leicester Riders, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Peter's Pizzeria, Hope Against Cancer, and Newbie and Co-Estate Agents. Make sure to follow us on all of our social channels at Leicester Fan TV. Visit our website, leicesterfantv.com.